Hi, and welcome to the Third and King podcast. Today is Tuesday, May 14th, and we're just going to do a quick one talking about Game 1 of the Giants-Dodgers series on May 13th. Hopefully you'll get a chance to listen to this before Game 2. We'll see if this format sticks. Just going to talk about things I liked and didn't like about the game, and today we'll do four of each. All right, so things I liked. Right off the bat, Luis Matos with the huge three-run home run in the second inning. I really thought he had a chance to make the team out of spring training, but with a crowded outfield after signing Jung-Hoo Lee and Jorge Soler, who doesn't play the outfield, but maybe Conforto would have been the primary DH before signing, there just wasn't room. And first at bat, hits a huge three-run home run off a hanging curveball. Love to see that. Just since we're talking about Matos, I didn't love the defense in center field, but I don't think that's a him issue. I think he's being asked to play out of position. I don't think he's an everyday center fielder. But for instance, the ball that Will Smith hit in extras, I think Jung-Hoo Lee catches that. We'll never know. So we'll see. But overall, you know, I like Matos up, and apparently he's going to get a chance to play every day. I like his bat. Hopefully he sticks. Okay, next thing, obvious one, Jordan Hicks. Only got through five innings, so wasn't the most efficient. Gave up only two earned runs. But against a lineup like that, I think you'll take that every day. Five innings, two earned runs against the Dodgers. Turn it over to the bullpen, and you should be in a good chance to win the game. Bullpen hasn't been up to par, but out of a starting pitcher, you'll take that every time. And then the third one, we're going to talk about Elliot Ramos. So I'm not a huge Elliot Ramos guy. There are people that are big fans of him and his player profile. I'm not one of them, but he's playing really good baseball right now. So even if you don't think it's going to stick around, which I hope it does, I hope I'm wrong, we can appreciate the fact that he's playing really good baseball right now on both sides of the ball. And just appreciate what he's doing right now. So tip of the cap to Elliot Ramos. And then lastly, for things I liked, Camilo Duvall got through the ninth inning in eight pitches. It was against the bottom of the Dodgers lineup and Mookie Betts. But still, I mean, I'm a huge Camilo Duvall fan, so just really like seeing that. I heard some chatter about people not liking that he didn't go back out for the 10th. I don't know. I'm not in the dugout or the clubhouse, so I don't know if that was the right move or not. He did pitch the day before on Sunday, and I think he had over 20 pitches. So maybe they were just protecting him. Getting up and down like that isn't the easiest thing in the world. Maybe he could have pitched the 10th, but I don't know. So it's hard to say whether he should or shouldn't have done that. But just looks nasty right now. I think especially in either save situations or tie game situations where he just seems to really focus and lock in. He just is nasty, and I love watching him pitch. Okay, quickly we'll move on to things I didn't like. I didn't like Mike Yastrzemski penciled in as the leadoff hitter. Now, I like Mike Yastrzemski as a baseball player. I'm happy he's on the Giants. He had a great diving play. His defense in right field is fantastic. I like him as a player. I don't understand why he was penciled in to lead off. His on-base percentage is under 300, which is not ideal for a leadoff hitter, to say the least. I would prefer Lamont Wade Jr. there. If they want Wade to not lead off as to maybe drive in some runs, I'd probably put Wade second and, you know, Tyro or someone else first. But, you know, at the end of the day, lineup order isn't as big of a deal as people make it out to be. It ends up being like a few runs different in a full season. So it's probably didn't make or break the win or loss there. But I still don't think it's the greatest decision, and I think maybe can be indicative of other poor decision-making, whoever is making that call. Next one, we'll talk about pinch hitting, and we'll double up here. Pinch hitting REITs for Sable. I understand that Sable is not a good hitter against lefties. I don't think REITs is a good hitter either way, so I didn't really understand the move there. And then especially later in the game, Reitz comes back up against a right-handed pitcher. I would have liked to have seen Sable there even if that means that he struck out on three pitches against the lefty earlier in the game when he got pinch hit for. Maybe there was something else there because he was struggling a little bit behind the plate. I don't think that was totally his fault, but he's definitely not a great ball blocker behind the plate. So if the move was both to pinch hit for him and to get a better defensive catcher behind the plate, I guess. I still didn't love it. And then the other pinch hitting move I didn't like was when they pinch hit Wisely for Schmidt. I am a Casey Schmidt fan, so I'm probably a little bit biased here. I just didn't like the move, you know, going for the left-handed bat against the right-handed pitcher. I could understand it a little bit more if the pitcher only had two pitches. If he was fastball slider and that's it, yeah, it makes sense to go a lefty there because then they don't have a great weapon against a left-handed hitter. But the Dodgers reliever also had a changeup, which is an equalizer against left-handed hitters. And that's what Wisely ended up striking out on. So I didn't think, especially with a pinch hit penalty, that Wisely, even with Schmidt struggling out of the gate, I don't think Wisely was a great move there. Okay, and the next one we're going to do pitch sequencing, and we're going to do specifically for two relievers, so we're going to double up again. The first one was Eric Miller. He gave up a solo homer to Kike Hernandez, a pinch hit home run. First pitch he threw, he yanked a changeup down and in to Kike. And then he backed that up with another changeup immediately on the 1-0 pitch that Kike then promptly put in the seats. I didn't like throwing another changeup there. I didn't think in a vacuum that that pitch was awful. Obviously, it wasn't perfect, but I think backing it up after a first pitch changeup, when he's timed to the changeup, he sees the changeup, you know, why not throw a fastball or a slider to get him off the changeup and then go back to it? I didn't like that sequencing. And then very similarly with Taylor Rogers in the 10th against Will Smith, actually really similarly, first pitch he yanks a fastball down and in to Will Smith. And then next pitch he goes fastball down, you know, kind of middle, a little bit down, and Will Smith crushes it for a double. Taylor Rogers' bread and butter is a slider. He'll get guys out on the fastball, but when they're looking for slider. You know, we saw that with the very next batter. He throws a bunch of sliders, or I guess his sweeper, to Muncy. And then Muncy's looking slider, and he sneaks a fastball by him, and it's strike three looking. I didn't really understand why Taylor Rogers went fastball, especially with his fastballs not great if it's not working with the slider. So with those, I don't know where those calls are coming from. I don't know if it was from behind the plate or in the dugout, but I didn't like the pitch sequencing for either of those. And then last but not least, obviously Tyler Fitzgerald getting picked off after being put in as a pinch runner. You just can't do that. You can't get picked off as a pinch runner. Pretty self-explanatory, but that was pretty bad. Who knows how it would have gone if he didn't get picked off, but it definitely didn't help matters. So, okay, that's going to do it for today. Again, we'll see how this format goes and if we like it, and let me know how you think about it. Hopefully, we'll do this again soon. Thanks.